This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
It is new league year day.
Hey,
today,
man.
At 4 o'clock, new league year for the NFL. Obviously, the Commanders, I think it's interesting to me, they have been relatively cautious as far as free agent spending. But the trades have been massive and where they've really kind of made their bones. Talking about the trades for even going back to the trade deadline last fall, whatever, Halloween, in Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. You know, as we get into this afternoon, there's still going to be big moves. There's probably going to be surprise releases today. Things will happen that nobody's expecting.
Yeah, it always does.
And I think we all should be expect the unexpected, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, this is the time of the year when that goes down. So people have to get their books right, and sometimes you're going to see some casualties. It happens.
For sure. You know what else happens tonight? This is a serious DMV battle. Navy AU from Bender Arena.
All right.
I mean, think about it. It's Mass Ave versus Route 50. Like, I don't know. It's going to be kind of fun. Also last night, as the preeminent Delaware Blue Hens basketball radio program in the city, the Blue Hens gave it a solid run but fell to the UNC Wilmington Seahawks, the CAA bid. So we're starting to get some automatic qualifiers in.
Yeah.
Lipscomb, High Point, UNC Wilmington, Robert Morris. I believe Robert Morris is in Pittsburgh. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure my boy Lee, that we played golf with, started his college career at Robert Morris. Drake, St. Francis. You're Wofford Terriers?
Wofford in there?
That's your team.
No, it's not. But I'm telling you, they can shoot, dog.
Why don't you want to take ownership of Wofford then?
I don't want to take ownership of them. I just saw, I respected their game. You know, and I watched them play the other night. They are very, very technically sound, and they can shoot some threes, though.
Respect the game.
Yeah.
Well, B-Mitch, it's funny, man. Like, how was traffic for you this morning?
Wasn't bad.
Just Mass Ave was bad. Everything else was, like, kind of doable. I got down here early, though, dropped the girls, kept cruising, all's well. And I generally, like, have time to myself in the car, and I'm just trying to make sense of everything. And I think it's, like, overly dismissive. If people have questions about Washington's moves so far, I think that's fair. That's part of the fun as a fan, is analyzing everything and trying to draw your own conclusions. I just would caution anybody from jumping to conclusions. That's all I'm saying. Like, if you believe, you know for certain that Javon Kinlaw is worse than John Allen, and that's a step back, I would just say to hold on a second. Because if you're talking entire body of work, If you're talking entire body of work, yes, that's correct. But I had this thought, sorry, Lurch Papa, while I was downstairs in the shower. If you're thinking about last year, yo, Kinlaw was not good last year. Last year was a down year for him. That Jets situation was a mess, all of it. But you know what Kinlaw did last year?
Played in every game.
Played in every game.
Yeah.
What do you tell me the first ability is?
Availability.
John missed 12 regular season games. And frankly, before John got hurt, he wasn't playing his best.
Yeah.
I think there was some real adjustment to a new scheme, new fit, all of that. John did play well in the playoffs. I want to give him credit for that. I think, you know, I reached out to some San Fran people, and they're like, you know, Kinlaw's a really big, strong guy. I think 2023 was his best season. I'm not sure I could say definitively what he does well. But I think trying to make a direct Kinlaw to Allen comparison is flawed.
It's very flawed because what it is John signed that last deal. And I've said it to people over and over again, and I'm going to say it again. When you start making a certain level of money, your production have to match that. When your production stops matching the money you're making, that's when they begin to start looking to get out of a deal or get away from you. That's all that happens. And it happens all the time. We see people sign these 4-5 year deals, and right around year three, if their production starts going down, you see people trying to get out of it. That's why most of the deals that you say all the time are 5 year, or it's probably a 3 year deal, because that's their off ramp normally. And when if you get to the off ramp and the ability is starting to slip, they quickly take that exit. But if you are still playing well, they normally give you an extension to keep you around.
The only thing I really find surprising, like if people want to point to a flaw in losing Allen and getting Kinlaw, from a business of football standpoint, you got younger and cheaper.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. John, it turned 30 in January. Now, listen, John's not old. John's going to help in Minnesota. He's a good player. He deserves the money he got. I like John. This is in no way trying to slight John, okay? Kinlaw's a little bit bigger, taller certainly, a little bit younger. He'll turn 28 this fall. John just turned 30. And a little bit cheaper. Now, if you want to ask, I think there's a fair question in, damn, they doubled Kinlaw's salary. Kinlaw's making a lot more now than probably his production would guarantee. But if you look at what he's making in relation to the entire NFL,
he's way down.
I mean, he's not top 20.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think what happens is. Now, Grady Jarrett's making a hair less than him. Grady Jarrett's also significantly older. Cam Hayward is making a hair less than him, but he's also older. Like,
Grady Jarrett signed that contract when the salary cap was much lower.
No, Jarrett was released. Jarrett just signed a new deal, but he's also 32.
How much he's making right now?
14.5.
So, but I'm saying his deal, most of these deals that were signed at a certain point, and that's why when they start coming through.
Jarrett signed
yesterday. I'm not worried about Jarrett. Yeah. I'm talking about when you start looking at a lot of the deals, the salary cap is now 280-something million.
Yeah.
It was, 4 or 5 years ago? And a lot of times people see what somebody is making and they're like, oh, I can't believe they're making it because that's what the salary, that's what it produces at this moment.
Where I land on this is you can argue they overpaid for Kinlaw based on production. And I'm not going to fight you on that. But where Kinlaw ranks and where he will rank by the end of the week, especially you're going to see some restructures, there's going to be a lot of things that happen, is probably the third tier down. Because the top tier of interior defensive linemen are going to – Chris Jones got 32 last year. I don't think anybody's getting that. I think the top tier we've seen in free agency is probably Milton Williams getting 26.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything north of 25 for interior D linemen is going to be top tier. Yeah. And maybe that obviously will continue to grow. But, like, there's not some super – D-tackle free agent sitting out there that's about to reset the market.
Mm-hmm.
Anything north of 25, maybe that the new baseline becomes Williams at 26, or maybe it becomes 28, maybe it becomes 30, right? But for just talking sake, north of 25 is tier one. That is the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
20 to 25 is going to become tier two. John just cracked that. John got 20 a year from the Vikings. Really, 15 to 20 is going to be your tier three D lineman, and 15 is the bottom of it. So what they're telling you from a salary standpoint is they probably got a tier three player that they think can perform at a tier two level.
People
like the money, you got to reframe how you think about the money with the cap exploding is what I'm trying to explain.
The people are always going to look at it because they look at what they make and what the people making, and it's always too much. But the ultimate thing is they're trying to compare John directly to Kinlaw, and that's not what this deal is. This deal was get somebody at that position where we can get other people at other positions. And they did not feel that John was still producing at the level he was being paid. That's it. You know, it's not a player-for-player trade-out. You know what I mean? It's I'm going to bring this dude in. He's younger. He's going to make less money. And we're going to also be able to improve other positions.
I think it's also – I think Johnny Newton is a huge factor in the Javon Kinlaw decision. I think they see a bigger role for Newton. And I think with Allen there, it's harder for Newton to have a larger role. I think the other part of this, I mean, if we're just going to be totally honest, John wasn't going to, at least John didn't want to play this year with no guarantees on his deal, which his old deal that he had with Washington had no guarantees on it. Now, the guarantees are minimal this year. It's 125, but he got a big old bonus to sign in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He now has $31 million guaranteed, 24 of it guaranteed yesterday when he signed his deal. There's a math equation to this, too. And when the Chiefs did this, when they trade Tooney? Last week? Right?
Yeah,
I think it was
I think a week before that.
The Chiefs trade away Joe Tooney. Now, granted, he's a couple years older, but he's also been a way better player than any of the people we're talking about. The Chiefs trade him away for a fourth. And people are like, damn, what is Kansas City doing? This dude's won four Super Bowls. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He's been really good. Trading him away for a fourth. Some of this is simple math, dude. You are looking at Joe Tooney, who's going to be 33 this fall, and you know you're going to have to pay him, and you don't want to. And you're trying to recalibrate on the fly. I think good teams try to stay ahead of the cap, and I think that's what Washington was trying to do in this decision-making process. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but I think you're overly simplifying, and you're jumping to a conclusion when you're like, Allen's better than Kinlaw, what the hell? So I'm just trying to provide the context of what I think is important.
That statement may be true, but then they may be asking the question, is Allen worth the money we were going to, what he was expecting to get paid? Maybe that's no in their face, in their mindset. And I think ultimately it comes down to what their mindset is. The people that's paying, they get that decision. They're going to say, does the guy's play match what he's expecting to get paid or getting paid? And off of that, they're going to make their decisions. And when they decide to move on, that's normally it. Has nothing to do with Kinlaw. It's about you're not producing at the amount of money you're making. He wasn't going to sit and take a cut.
On his cap number this year, Kinlaw is slated for about 7.5 against the cap. Johnny Newton slated for about 2.5. Call it 10 between the two of them. Now, we understand Peters doesn't care necessarily about the cap numbers. He cares about the cash going out. Fine. It's still going to be significantly less cash going out than Allen's going to take in year one for both of those players. And I think there is a belief that both of those players will equate to something greater than what Allen's going to give you.
Yeah.
The lost part in this is, now, I don't know that John made any public comments, and I'm not trying to assert that he did, about wanting a new deal, not going to play without guarantees. But I have a feeling that would have come up by the time we got to July or August. So some of this is just trying, like they said, they want to do right by John. He wanted guarantees, the marketplace with Barrett. Go get it.
Yeah.
Then there's a conversation I was thinking more and more. That's kind of been the biggest free agent deal, right? You lose Jeremy Chinn, you bring in Will Harris. To me, that's another money thing. Chinn was really good last year.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible he replicates that level of play. But it's not like he was a perfect player, somebody that mandated you bring him back. And over the course of his career, for 4 years in Carolina before he signed here, he was excellent as a rookie. I think he came in second in Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
It was a steady downward progression from there. Carolina was also a train wreck. So I don't put much of that on Jeremy.
Totally.
But he's getting paid off the best production of his career. That's what got him paid by the Raiders. Will Harris, we're going to talk to Matt Paris a little later, old friend of the program, and we'll get the word on Harris. But what I can say about Harris, just in what I've watched and what I've talked to people about, what DQ talks about, what Joe Witt talks about, nose for the ball and arrive violently. Mm-hmm. And that's how that dude plays. And again, it's a math equation. He is older, but significantly cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how you arrive at that determination. But there's a bigger picture thing that I think deserves to be discussed kind of at length. And they've made three big trades in the last year. No, not even the last year. Hell, 8 calendar months?
That's 2 months.
Since, we'll call it November 1 to today is what, mid-March?
Yeah.
5 months?
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil. These are three veteran players. Three veteran players with all pros on their belt. Three veteran players that have played in big moments with name value. Their jerseys have been sold at team stores. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are established players. It's my understanding. Now, this could change, right? But after speaking with sources on this, and hell, we've already seen it with Lattimore at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They are not. They traded for all of them. I think the only compensation you could argue was possibly too high is Lattimore, and that would be based on last year's production that wasn't great for his standards, but I think he was still hurt. I think Deebo, you got for a song. Tunsil, I think the compensation is in your favor should he deliver. Now, I think it's really, really important to point out you traded for veteran, established players, good players, all going into years on their contract or contracts, period, that are under market value for their position.
Yeah.
And the message, the signals from Ashburn are, play on this and then we'll figure it out. Show me and then we will figure this out. And that's not to say there's no, like, Tunsil's got $10 million guaranteed coming his way. Deebo has a big roster bonus coming his way. Lattimore doesn't. But still, if you're Deebo Samuel, Brian, and you look at wide receivers, I believe Darius Slayton just got $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo's is slated to get a $14.5 million roster bonus, I believe. So I don't want to poo-poo that money because it's a lot of money. But Darius Slayton just got $12 million a year. Deebo, if he's a straight-up free agent, the number is higher. Yeah. Tutu Atwell got 10. Deami Brown got 10.
Yeah.
Deebo, even coming off a season where he only went for 800 from scrimmage, he's 2 years removed from 1,200 and 9 touchdowns. Deebo, there's big money available for a guy like that. And then you flip it over to Tunsil. And we're going to have some Tunsil conversations. He seems like an interesting character that I can't wait to get to know. But if you want to talk the tackle position, the money at tackle, Tunsil's technically making $25 million, but only $10 million guaranteed this year. Darisaw with the Vikings, Andrew Thomas, like the money he's going to be looking for when that comes up, it's going to be big. Talking about the salary cap going up, I think there is real value in the Commanders' front office saying, guys, we love you. We traded for you. You're here. We absolutely will take care of you. Let's see it on the field.
Yeah.
I think you get highly motivated players in those instances.
Well, if they, hopefully. I think the guys just look at what the other guys are getting. That motivates them right there. And they know they got to go out and produce. If I produce, they look at the people signing deals and go, that's my next stop. So it's a good motivational tool. But you got better players, too, also coming into your roster. Helps your team out.
I think Deebo and Tunsil, zero debate. Lattimore, you hope, is fully healthy, and then you get a real assessment of where he's at. Because if he's fully healthy and the play looks like it did last year, you got a problem. If he's fully healthy and he's back to just being a dog shutdown corner, you got away with one, man. And it's a big, big change. Now we'll have to see what happens. Maybe Tunsil and his representation are already talking about a new deal. We'll find that part out. Here's what I know. It comes down to productivity against numbers. And if you want productivity against numbers, there's one dude in the DMV that can match his record against anybody. You want guaranteed cash? Talk to John Leahy.
Yep, talk to John Leahy, just like George and Sylvia did. George and Sylvia recently retired. Thanks to that, they were able to relocate to Florida so they would be closer to their daughter and their grandchildren. But all didn't go according to plan. Why? That's because they initially tried to sell their Temple Hills property on their own. And the given fact that they needed to sell their home quickly and at a certain price to be able to afford their place in Florida, Sylvia and George quickly discovered they needed an expert. That's where John Leahy and the Fine Living Group came in to save the day. Needless to say, they worked their magic, getting the property sold in only 3 weeks with a cash offer of $15,000 over the asking price. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
These are interesting times we're living in right now. Tariffs, interest rates, stock market going down. Nobody's exactly sure what's going on, so you need to talk to an expert. Everybody's situation is different. You drive around your neighborhood, maybe you're seeing more for sale signs than you did before. Everybody's situation is different. One thing that can help you, though, go to John's website, johnsellsdmv.com. He's got that home valuation tool. Take you 30, 45 seconds. You'll find out how much your house is worth, how much equity you're sitting on, and maybe you want to buy that house in Florida. Bemis is talking about, I'd love a damn house in Florida, Jeff. Maybe John can help you do it. Trust me. Just have a conversation with the man. He's our friend. He'll steer you the right way. Call John, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, B, a lot to discuss today. I guess our biggest, I don't know if you agree with me. Let's chill on jumping to conclusions. Whether they've won or lost free agency, I think it's premature. That's all I'm saying.
It is premature because you got to let them play first. But, you know, the people that go around grading it, a lot of them feel Washington is doing a damn good job. So,
well, I think the Tunsil trade changes everything. How much do you care that he was the most penalized left tackle in football?
I want that to improve because I don't, you know what I mean? I hate drives being stalled by stupid penalties. And maybe, just maybe, we're going to get some of those people that call him a lot. Like what John was saying yesterday, he got a lot of crews that call a lot of stuff on him. Maybe, and then maybe the cadence could have been something that threw him off too. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff was false starts. Was he playing against some pass rushers that are a lot better than the ones he's going to face over here? We'll see. But, yes, that is something they need to work on correcting. But I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, I wouldn't want him on my team. That would be crazy. I want him to improve it, though.
I mean, by all accounts, everyone I've talked to is Tunsil is an absolutely elite pass-blocking left tackle. And you know why they brought him here? To protect Jaden Daniels.
Hey, most moves on offense need to be made to protect or give him more bullets in the chamber.
I don't know where you land on this. I'm planted a flag for a certain player that I'm sure some people will disagree with. They clearly need edge rusher, right?
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Fowler. Maybe Fowler comes back. I think it might be too early to dismiss anything over a tweet. I think let's say a week from now, Dante Fowler's having a press conference.
Listen to me,
Jay. You know what he'll say? Oh, man, I was tweeting about.
Listen to me, Jay.
They messed up my delivery. Uber Eats messed up.
Miles Garrett said he couldn't win in Cleveland. He going to try to win now and make it $40 million a year, right? If the right money hits, he'll get right past it. Guys always tweet stuff, say stuff, and then you have to bite it. So that's why most time I just won't say anything. Just move past it and see what happens.
How do you feel about a 6'3", 270, four-time Pro Bowler? Missed some time last year, but from what I have read, could have come back, but the team stunk. But the two previous years played all 17 games. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, he's 33.
33. Listen, I like the little deals we got last year and things like that, but I think as we begin to move forward, we got to get away from some of those so many one-year veteran-laden things. But if it's somebody that can help you this year, why are you trying to get somebody to get into that position that can grow into it? Cool.
Tank Lawrence is who I'm talking about. I think Tank Lawrence also really helps you against
the run. He helps you in the run game, too.
Here's where I'm at. Like, unless you're going to trade for Hendrickson, the best of these guys aren't going anywhere. The fact that Harold Landry got gobbled up right away, Hassan Reddick, the Bucks gobbled up right away, Khalil Mack decided to stay home, Chase Young just signed a 3-year, $50 million deal. Let me run through the show, by the way.
51.
Neil Greenberg joining us at 11 a.m. Ed Werder, longtime ESPN national NFL reporter, is going to join us at noon. Ed's an awesome dude. I've gotten to know him over the last year or two. And Matt Paris, formerly Washington Times, now covers the Saints, joining us at 1:30. Want to talk to him about Will Harris coming to town as well as Chase Young's new contract down there. But, B, I don't disagree with you. You'd love for them to identify some young talent they want to sign to a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of Josh Sweat, who went to his old D coordinator in Arizona, that dude doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Preston Smith. I've known Preston Smith since his rookie year.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know his family. I really, really like him as a person. Preston got traded last year, late in the year. And then I think was inactive for a few games once he got traded to Pittsburgh. Like, it didn't go great.
Mm-hmm.
Preston's stats have really fallen off. That's not a player I'm interested in. I mean, we can talk about these edge guys that are available. Za'Darius Smith is 34. Matthew Judon is going to be 34. Leonard Floyd got gobbled up as soon as he was released. So then you can scroll down, unless you want to sign Von Miller, who's going to be 37 this fall. Maybe he gives you something.
Mm.
You can scroll down, and then you get to dudes like Fowler and Farrell, like guys they already have here. Or you try to find somebody you think, they see something somebody else doesn't. And you look at a young guy. I look at Ojulari that's played for the Giants. I think Osai got re-signed by the Bengals. Look that up for me, White Brian, please. I don't know, Joseph Osai, if you want to talk yourself into that being something interesting. But the identifying a young edge player that maybe you can find and turn into something is really hard. Osai did re-sign with Cincinnati? Okay. Like, it's really, really hard to do, and the whole league is trying to do it. You know what they're trying to do in Seattle and Houston and the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders? Mm-hmm. Is, we think this kid that's in the third year of his rookie deal that we drafted in the fourth round, we think he might become something really good. We think he becomes a plus starter. Not a Pro Bowl player, but a plus starter.
Yeah.
You know what they're trying to do? Lock him up right there.
Totally.
So it's like, it's so easy to make these grand pronouncements of like, oh man, they got to find some young talent, lock them up to 4-year deals. It's hard. The whole league's trying to do that.
It's hard to do it, but I think the ultimate thing is these people are doing this 24/7.
Right.
And I know it's hard, and like you said earlier, it's fun. But sometimes you got to pump your brakes and allow the professionals to handle their jobs. And then once they get on the field, you have every right to say, well, he's not playing up to par. Because every year they sign people, and we lose our mind if the guy has a name. And that guy never lives up to the hype. Then they sign people we don't know, and they begin to come out here and make you believe in them sometimes. Just let it happen.
I think the key is the draft and develop, man. You got to draft and develop. And if you want to say it's going to be a lot harder to do that this year because they've traded away a lot of picks, you're not incorrect. But they traded for studs, and if they pan out, then it's going to work out.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's overly simple. I'm not trying to be overly simple with it, but
they're doing nothing no other teams don't do. Every team, when they got a chance to get a stud in a trade, they try and get them. Then they go and get people in the draft. And they hope that the draft picks are filling some of those spots. And a lot of times you go and you trade for certain guys, and guess what? They play for the next 3-4 years with you. If they can do that, you win with it. If not, then you have somebody behind them getting ready to step in. That's how the bill from the draft, I think, throws people off, where most people take that as, oh, we only going to have draft picks. You still got to have some other guys that can play too. Can't just draft all young guys, throw them on the field, and think you're going to compete.
Now, the Joey Bosa thing would have been interesting. Obviously, he went to Buffalo. Like, there were some big players, but generally, the biggest name players are coming off a second contract that has been somewhere between underwhelming and just fine, or dudes with a bunch of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Sweat gets there, Bosa gets there. I don't know, B, the Bears. If you go to any website, ESPN, CBS, Pro Football Talk, whatever website you're into, the Bears, in their free agent offseason grade, they're going to be graded really high because they've been super active.
Yeah.
They made a bunch of trades. They signed a center.
Their need was protect our quarterback, and they did that.
But there's no way to know if it's going to work.
You don't know. No one knows.
Jonah Jackson got benched.
You got to find out once you get out on the field. If they improve, cool. But then again, on top of that, what if this offensive line gets good and Caleb Steele scrambles around before he throws the ball? You know what I'm saying? So all that has to come together. But still, based off of their information and their research, every team believes that they got better when they bring in these guys. No one knows they step on the field.
As somebody who has watched the Donovan McNabb trade and the Alex Smith trade pan out here in Washington, I'm pretty wary of trading with Andy Reid. So that Joe Tooney thing doesn't look like the slam dunk to me. It does to others. I do want to talk specifically at receiver position, kind of what is available for Washington, what they're going to do. Before we do any of that, though, I got to tell you about the great experience I had with Door Pro America. I had a really old, crappy, loud, clangy, just a piece of junk garage door that I had to like re-plug it and unplug it in all the time. It just sucked. Talk to the folks at Door Pro America. My guys, Shane and Vince, came out. They had this dope Photoshop thing where we got to scroll through all these different doors, and it's made a tremendous impact on my life. Here's a real story. Last night, Lauren was putting the girls to bed. You got to be quiet when you're trying to get a crazy six-year-old to sleep. It's not a secret. You got to be quiet in the house. I am now able to sneak in and out of the garage, go out to my car, get my stuff. I went to go put my gym bag in there. Doesn't wake anybody up anymore. It's a whole different world. I used to be literally kind of a prisoner in my own house because I couldn't go out the front door because she'd hear it, and I couldn't go out the garage door because it sounded like an 18-wheeler coming up the street. That's the type of difference Door Pro America can make for you. They're based locally. They've been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. Their team can do it all. Maybe you just need some maintenance. Maybe you just need a repair, or you need a new installation. They do it all like seasoned pros. Call today. You can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them J.P. Finley sent you, or check them out now at doorproamerica.com. Reports yesterday or 2 days ago, Michael Gallup, formerly with the Cowboys, was visiting Ashburn, B. Mm-hmm. There was talk Gallup was going to retire. But I heard that. Gallup's got a 1,000-yard season on the resume. Back in 2019, went for 1,100, 6 touchdowns. Last couple years hasn't been that. Last year, though, Dak goes down. I mean, that year looks funky. Played all 17 games last year, only 418 yards. 2022, 39 catches, 424. Gallup, though, had some real speed. I wonder if I can find his combine numbers. He was a legit speedster, deep threat that I think with De'Ami Brown, Washington probably needs.
Big play guy.
What's your stance on Michael Gallup, Brian?
kicked tires.
Damn, his 40's a lot slower than I would have guessed.
I kicked the tires on him.
What do you think his 40 was? Third round pick by the Cowboys out of Colorado State.
His 40 probably was a 4.59.
4.51. Pretty much all these dudes coming out now seem like they're all sub 4.4 or at 4.4. 1.5, 10-yard split. Would you rather have, and I don't know that this is an either or, but would you rather have Gallup or have OZ back?
OZ could do a lot of stuff for you. I like the guys that can also fill in as a return guy. So, I take OZ.
I think, I don't know. I liked this from Zach Ertz the other day. He said, I would say for us as an offense, we're not going to be starting in the rudimentary stuff when we get back here for the offseason program. For a guy like Jaden, we're not going to be on a day one install for multiple weeks just to get everyone comfortable, mm-hmm. especially the quarterback comfortable. For us, there's just so many ways to improve. We've got to be the hardest on ourselves, and Cliff is one of the best offensive coaches I've been around. So I think it was huge for him to get to be back here. Based on that, like, if you think about where that offense was late last season, when they were really moving the ball well,
yeah,
I think I'd rather keep in-house guys. It makes me lean in-house. It doesn't mean that's the only way you can go, but if it's OZ or someone else, I just tend to lean towards keeping Zacchaeus. I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought, especially with a lot of the short intermediate stuff, he helps you there.
Yeah.
You know, had some struggles as a returner, but finished the season with...
We're going to get that fixed, though. We're going to get all that fixed.
I mean, he finished the season as their second leading actual wide receiver. Terry went for 1,100, then Ertz at 650, OZ at 506.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Brown is a much more interesting case because Noah Brown would have been the second leading receiver. In 11 games, Noah Brown had about 450 yards, 453 to be exact. And with that, if you just extrapolate that, he probably gets you to 700-800, I would think. Does that seem fair?
I think so.
Which is really pretty normal, routine, you know, second wideout. But the injury stuff is really interesting with Noah Brown. He suffered a pretty serious injury, an internal organ thing. And I don't know kind of where you go with that. I don't know that you can make an easy decision on that, if that makes sense.
Is something get, but like the internal stuff normally heals quickly. I think that's the thing about that. Is it healed? Is it better? Because I think what was the cause? What was it? I mean, lacerated kidney or something?
Yeah, it was something. It was.
I think you can get that healed quicker than you probably a damn messed up knee.
Sure, and I did, it's important to point this out, I did see him late in the year. I saw he was in the locker room probably leading up to that Eagles game, walking around fine. I didn't see him running or certainly taking a hit, any of that. But, you know, he was back in the locker room with the guys.
Mm.
I don't think the concern isn't that it heals. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. This is pure speculation. I wonder if the concern is if you take another hit on there. But they have, now you've got Debo, Terry, Luke on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they fill that out with Noah Brown and OZ,
yeah,
are you cool with it?
I'm cool with that.
I feel like a lot swings on McCaffrey, I think. I think if he could take a big step, it takes care of a lot of things, honestly. And I don't know that he can or will, but that's certainly what Washington is leaning on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our plan. When we return, Neil Greenberg will join the program.